continue through 1 John chapter 5, verses, we'll cover verses 6 through 10, good Lord willing, this morning. You know, we began the study of 1 John by asking the question, what if Jesus really was God? What if Jesus really was God's Son who came to the earth and lived a sinless life and died on the cross? What difference would that make in our lives? What if we really believe that? And we talked about, when we first started this way back in a few months ago, that the fact that Jesus died on the earth, what difference does it make to us? How does that change our lives? How does it change the things we say? How does it change the things we do? If you think about your life tomorrow and how you would go about your life tomorrow, what difference does it make that Jesus came? How does that impact you in the way you relate to people? The way you get up in the morning, the way you go through the day, the way you do those very basic things of your life. See, and John says it makes a huge difference. If I really believed this, if I really took all this, if I really said that this is true, Jesus Christ really did come to the earth, John says you're gonna be different. You're gonna be different. It'll affect the way you live and the way you act. That if we really believe and really understood that Jesus came to the earth, then we really would believe his message, that God is light and in him was no darkness. And so John has laid out this very, very logical progression as he started from this evidence. He said, we saw this, we touched it, we handled it. And this is what he told us. And if you believe this, then it's going to affect every part of your life. And he built upon this, and he based this all on the reality of the life of Jesus. And as John is coming to the end of the letter, he's going to offer even a greater proof to the reality of Jesus Christ. To John, this is his most convincing proof that Jesus Christ really did come from heaven. He's going to build this, his proof that Jesus really did, upon God and God's testimony of his Son. He said, this is his crowning evidence that Jesus Christ really did come to the earth and really did die for our sins. And it's God's testimony of his own Son. 1 John chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. As we read these verses together. This is he, that is Jesus, who came by water and blood. Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, because the Spirit is truth. And for there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God that he bore concerning his Son. If we receive the testimony of men, for whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has bore concerning his Son. Last week, Mark did a great job of concluding John's remark about the effects of Jesus Christ on our life. You know, as Mark explained in verses 1 through 5, everyone who believes has been born of God. You know, and that not will be born, not if you believe you will be born or this is going to happen. If you believe, it has happened. You are born of God, and then you believe. And when we are born of him, we love the Father. Or as Mark said, we love the things that God loves. We prefer what God has for us over everything else. That we will keep the commandments, and that we will love one another. Finally, we will overcome the world. We will hold on to our faith. We will have the victory. And he laid out this great, great promise for this. But all these promises are predicated on one important fact. We must have faith that Jesus Christ came from God and died for our sins. If that wasn't true, and if we don't believe that's true, the promises are empty. There's nothing to them. If we don't hold on to that fact, we don't know this is true, it means nothing. If we believe that Jesus Christ was a great man, there's no promises. There's no victory. There's no hope. Or if we think he's a prophet, or even if we think he's some sort of historical figure, like Julius Caesar, then we have nothing. You see, I think this is a real issue. I know there are so many that I talk today, and they say, yes, I believe Jesus Christ, all the things that's said about him. But yet they believe it as if it was a historical fact, that these things really happened, not that they're building their lives upon it, not that they're trusting him, not that they built this as this is their foundation. And because of this, when all these things happen to me, I know that God's sovereign over all these things, that Jesus was everything he said he was, but it's all this is just historical facts. There's no faith. And as Hebrews tells us, faith is assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We need this assurance of things hoped for. We need this. There's way too much mental ascension that's trying to be passed off as faith. Way too much, yes, I agree with that. Yes, I believe that people's calling faith. There's something more that John's trying to get us to do. It's a changed life. In the first chapter, John built his case on what he saw and touched or heard, or that upon his own testimony. John 1:1, this was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. He started off his book by saying, we saw all these things. We touched them. We handled them. This is our testimony of who God is. That we were there in the beginning. We walked with Jesus. We've seen all this. He said, this is my testimony. And he built his whole case upon that. But now here at the end of the book, John's going to build his case upon the testimony of God. He's going to give us God's evidence that Jesus Christ really did come to the earth, really did come to the world. And he's going to do this because he said God's testimony is even greater than men's testimony. And he starts off by saying that God's first testimony is that Jesus Christ came by water and by blood. And we'll talk about in just a minute, what does it mean to come by? Because this is real important. What does he mean when he said that Jesus came by these things? But first, we're going to talk about the water and the blood. And this is real confusing. You know, you read the commentaries, and they're literally all over the place. You know, historically, it was the water and the blood. People leaned toward the baptism and the crucifixion. And then more new, the more modern viewpoint, a lot of commentaries, is it's the crucifixion and his birth, meaning his humanity and his deity. I'm not going to all those and discuss them. I am going to make one brief comment because it's so popular today. A lot of people say it's the baptism. The water is the baptism. It could be, but the difficulty is that John does not mention the baptism anywhere else. And also, John Piper did a tremendous job treating this and discussing this and basically talking about this, that it's not, that's probably not what's in John's mind here. So then what is the water and the blood that John's referring to? And, you know, when you think of water and blood, you got to remember this is real popular with John. John loves to talk about the water and blood. And first, we're going to deal with the water. And we find that particularly in John chapter 3, verse 5, when John's talking to Nicodemus. And we know the story. The story actually, in my view, starts in John chapter 2. When there are all these people that they believe in his name, believe in the name of Jesus Christ, and Jesus did not entrust himself to them. In other words, here they had this dead faith, and they believed in Jesus, but he didn't give himself to them. And so here comes Nicodemus at night, And Nicodemus has this question on his heart, that's kind of burning in his heart. And he walks up to Jesus and he says, Jesus, good teacher, we've seen what you do. You're awesome. You must be from God. And then Jesus, seeing the question of his heart, and he says, you must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven. And like, whoa, where'd that question answer come from? But that was a question of his heart. And so Jesus said, and Nicodemus doesn't respond. He said, well, what did that do? He responds, well, how can you be born again? In John 3:5, John wrote that Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So what's he talking about? So let's turn back to Ezekiel, because I think this is what John is speaking of, and this is sort of crucial to this part, that you understand, what does it mean, the water? So John's referring, he didn't just pick this out of the air. He's taken the teachings from the Old Testament and said, let me explain to you what it means. You're a Pharisee, you should know this. You've been taught the law, you should know what this means, but yet you don't. So he says, let's read Ezekiel chapter 36, and we'll start in verse 22. And this is, I think this is where he was explaining what it means for the water. In Ezekiel 36, 22, Ezekiel writes, therefore, this is the Lord speaking, of course, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations which you came. And this is a real common theme in Ezekiel. Ezekiel says, I'm doing all this for the sake of my name. He says this over 50 times in the book of Ezekiel. I'm doing this for the sake of my name. He said, I'm going to act for the sake of my name because you have profaned among the nations my name. Verse 23, and I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. And this is, he says, now I'm going to tell you how I'm going to vindicate my name. I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the countries, and bring you into your own land, and I will sprinkle clean water on you. And you shall be clean from all uncleanliness. And from all your idols, I will cleanse you. I'm going to pour this water out on you, and it's going to remove all of those idols, all of that uncleanliness, all that depravity. I'm going to take you, and I'm going to wash you up. And I'm going to set you in front of the nations, and then the nations will see you. And that's going to vindicate me. It's going to vindicate my name. I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I'll put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you the heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you. This is, I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I will cause you to keep my commandments. I will cause you and cause you to be careful to obey my rules. I will cause you to obey my commandments. Now, think how that fits into what John's been saying in 1 John chapter 5. How that fits in all this that he's saying, this is what you're going to do. You're going to keep his commandments. And God said, I'm going to do this. Ezekiel said, I'm going to do this because this is going to vindicate in front of the nations who I am. I'm doing it for my name's sake. So you'll see me and you'll see that I am holy. And so, this is that covenant, this is the reference, that new covenant. He said, you're going to be washed clean from all your idols. The people are going to look at you and they're going to say, wow, look what happened here. They're different. They're changed. They're keeping all these statutes. They're keeping all the commandments of God. They're obeying him. Their life's changed. Which is what John's been saying all the way through 1 John. You have a changed life. You're not the same person you were. You're changed. And he's saying, this is not by water only. Not by water only. This won't be a changed life. You see, because you read the New Testament over and over, there were these times when they would say, all right, we're going to put all of our idols away. These temporary solutions that weren't permanent. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. And Samuel said to the house of Israel, if you will return to God with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherites from among you, and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So here are the Philistines coming, and God said, and they're saying, oh, we want the Lord, we want the Lord. And Samuel said, well, put away all the idols. What'd they do? So the people put away the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, and they served the Lord only for a time. Another one of these temporary fixes. He said, it's not gonna be temporary like it was before. That this water comes in, it's permanent. Because it's come by water and by blood. Not by water only. Because the blood, this is the blood of Christ. This is that blood of Christ that's coming. The sacrifice of Christ, the forgiveness of sins. My sins are forgiven because of the blood of Christ. We know what this means. We know that means we're not burdened by sins. We know the forgiveness. We know that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. John's been saying this. 1 John 2:2 and 1 John 4:10. In this, the love of God, in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He's saying that this is that blood. It is that blood of Christ that's coming and washing us and cleansing us. And it's the water. And he said that both of these things, both the water and the blood, flow to us from Christ. Because John goes back to the same two things in John 19. Back to his gospel. John 19, 32 through 35. So the soldiers came and broke the leg of the first and the other who were crucified with him, that is crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. And he who saw it bore witness, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you may also believe. John doesn't tell us that the blood and water is flowing out as some sort of proof that Jesus was dead. And I hear people take it that way all the time. They say that when he did that, he pierced the pericardial sac, and that proved that he was really dead. And I'm not doubting that's true, but that's not John's point here. John's point is that both the cleansing of the water and the blood of Christ flowed from Christ. That all of this changed life flowed from Christ. This is Christ's work. This is what he's doing. That he's cleansing us. He's taking us from our idol worship and from being a part of the world and being caught up in the world and being part of that. He's taken us out of that. He's washed us with water. He's pouring his blood out on us. Our sins are forgiven. And we're the witness to the world that God is holy. We are vindication of God's holy name. And this is all coming from the cross. And it's pouring out to us. And when he says this came by this, I mean it came to you. That this is a testimony to you that this happened. That this was flowing out from God. And the third witness is the Spirit. Notice the third witness. And the interesting thing is, the Holy Spirit also came from Jesus Christ. Still in John, very next chapter, John 20, verses 19 through 22. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked, where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be to you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So all of this, the blood came from Jesus. The water came from Jesus. The Spirit came from Jesus. And he's pouring all that on us. And he said, these three things, testify to the reality that Jesus Christ was on the earth and died on the cross. That Jesus Christ really was who he said he was, and they agree. And he said, this is, and John says, this is the testimony of God. This is how God is testifying to the world that Jesus Christ came and lived on this earth and died. Your changed life is the testimony that Jesus Christ died on the world, died on this earth. Your life is changed. You're not the same person. He cleanses you. He's washed you. He's forgiven you. John is saying that this, the blood, the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of idols, that you've been taken from the world, is the testimony of God. And this is how Jesus Christ came to us. He came to us through the testimony that God proclaimed. God is testifying to me about the reality of Jesus Christ through you. Just as he talked about in Ezekiel. He said, it's for my name's sake I'm doing this. John, remember we said, God causes us to keep his commandments so that he will be glorified. So that his name will be glorified. This is why you're working on this. It's not just for the nations, it's for one another. How do you love me? By keeping his commandments. That's what he said in 1 John, or 2 John. And how do you love one another? By keeping the commandments. You see, when I see that, when I see you keeping his commandments, I'm encouraged that God sent his son to die on the cross. That encourages me. When I see you walking through this life and dealing with the struggles and you're praising God, that's encouragement to me. As I thought about this week, I thought about the lives in this room that have encouraged me this week. Because I see your faith. I see your faith. I see your hunger. And we know this is true. If I talked to Matt and say, Matt, I know that you've really gotten into reading the Word. Why? What was it that God used specifically to get you back into daily reading the Word? It was Rick. Wasn't it? Seeing how much Rick loved the Word and his testimony of the Word and his testimony with the Word. I know it was for me. Him doing that, it's like, oh, man. It was such an encouragement to you. And so God's saying, this is how he testifies that Jesus Christ really did. This is his testimony. That God is testifying the world through our lives. And he is the one doing the work. This is what's so critical. We come back to he is the one who's working in us to do all everything. And I am responding to him and what he is doing. My life is his testimony to the world. Your life is his testimony to the world that Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ really did come to the earth, that he really did die for your sins. And this testimony is greater than the testimony of men. I can speak on Christ. And you've all heard this. You all know this. Somebody gets up and they tell you, oh yeah, I believe Jesus Christ lived and died. I believe he came to the earth. But what happens if their life doesn't reflect that? What's their testimony worth if there is no changed life behind it? Nothing. Tell me the truth. Haven't you ever wanted to see those bumper stickers that say, God is my co-pilot, or the little fish symbols on the back of somebody's car, and you see somebody driving down the road, and the way they're driving, you just want to run up and just rip it off? I mean, come on. Surely I'm not the only one who ever thought that. Say, oh, you're testifying to Jesus Christ, and look at your life? Are you kidding me? You know? Cover that up, please. God's testimony is so much greater than men's. God's testimony is greater than men's. Whoever doesn't receive God's testimony is calling him a liar. If I don't receive it, I'm calling God a liar. If I see this changed life and I see what God has done, that God has moved you to love one another, and if I don't see that coming from God, I say, man, that Rick, he's a great person, man. He's doing so good. He loves the Word, and he's reading. I'm so proud of him. I'm calling God a liar because God said, Rick, I moved in you to will and do every good thing. God, I did this so that you would vindicate my holy name, not your name. He's not doing it for your name. It's not for your sake. He's doing it for his name's sake. So that you will see his good works and give glory to who? To God. He's doing all this. So you'll see the good works and give glory to God. This is the testimony that Jesus Christ really did come and live on the earth. A changed life. You're not the same person. You live differently. Not because you're such a good person, because God is working in you to vindicate his holy name, because he wants you to walk in front of the world and say, this is what it means to follow me. And I'm causing you to do this. I'm working you. I'm causing you to keep my statutes. I'm causing you to love my words. I'm giving you hope so that you'll be pure as I am pure. And see, this is what John has been talking about all through his book. As John has been laying out this changed life, and he gets right here at the very end of this, and he's talking about this testimony of God. I don't believe he's going back and talking about the life of Jesus Christ. I think he's talking about your life. That's his testimony, that Jesus Christ is his son. Jesus Christ came, lived, died on the earth. And he said, whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony in himself. You have this testimony. Whoever believes in God will have this testimony. Not might have it, not should have it, not can have it, will have it. Will have it. Whoever believes in the Son of God has this testimony in himself. You see this in your own life. You know, I encourage you. I ask yourself, how are you growing in the Lord? What's that look like to you? Do you see that in your life? Do you see this testimony? Do you see this cleansing? All the way through 1 John, he said, these things are written so you may know that you have eternal life. Do you see it? Or are you calling God a liar? When he talks about this coming by the blood and by the water, it means as he come to you, as you've seen this. You see, somebody can tell you about the crucifixion and the baptism, but you didn't witness it. It's just the testimony of men. This, I think, is a real issue, a real problem we have in our churches today. You know, how are we? I'm speaking of myself. I don't think I've really considered how does my life testify of the work of Christ. Is that important to me? Do I think about that tomorrow? As I go through tomorrow, what am I saying about Christ? Am I testifying to the world that I really believe Jesus Christ came and died for my sins? And if I did, how would it be different? What would I do different tomorrow? How would that change my attitudes? John said, this is the testimony. This is how God testifies to the world. Through you. No pressure, right? But the good news is, this is what he is doing. He said, I'm doing the work. So he gets the glory. Let's pray. Lord God, what a great work that you have done. There's so many in this body. Lord, when I consider how you've caused them to love one another. When in our flesh there'd be no desire to love one another. How you've caused them to cleanse their lives, to seek after you, to hunger for the word, all these things that you have done, Lord. And to know that all of this flowed from the very heart of God, from Jesus Christ himself. That the water that cleanses, the blood that forgives, flowed from the cross. And so, Lord, we praise you this day for everything that happened, for all the things that we're thankful for. We praise you. For you alone are worthy. God, I pray that you would be glorified through our offering of our sacrifice of praise at this time in Christ's name. Amen. Mark comes and leads us.